First of all, I'd like to thank Rabbi Tarrigan for organizing this wonderful effort year after year. And I'd like to thank you for joining me for a few minutes. We'll talk about not so much what it is entitled. The title is all about spirituality, ruchnius. But I submit that use of that word, while not a terrible or egregious idea to use the word spirituality or ruchnius, but it sells us short. It sells us short because there has been a different word that has been used and that has been commonly associated with all of the right ways to do a mitzvah, with all of the right ways to feel and live. And it was not with the word ruchnius. As a matter of fact, I defy you to find that word in the writings of the great Rishonim, even in the early Achronim, where they would submit that we have to work, live, function on a high level of ruchnius. Why is that word not there? You cannot simply offer me the answer, well, that's because it was taken for granted. And then with the approach of Hasidus becoming much more common, so it ceased to be so taken for granted, and we started to actually talk about things like spirituality. That's true, but there's something more basic, and that is that there was a word, and there is a word, that belongs and has belonged to the Jewish people and to the M.O., the modus operandi of how we live every day, and that word needs to be brought back. And I say it needs to be brought back because if you talk to people about spirituality, so you'll get from many, many people in the observant community, I'm not a spiritual person. I don't drink that Kool-Aid. Whatever, however they might express themselves. And that's very dangerous because we should not just say, well, it's not for everybody. No. On the contrary. It is for everybody. The means to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the means to make our lives purposeful, meaningful, it's for everybody. You cannot say, well, that this person says he or she is not spiritual, so it's not for them. Oh, no. So we're going to make sure not to write off so many people for whom that word won't work. So for these reasons, let's understand what the right word is. Maybe you can already intuit where I'm headed. Anybody? What is the right word? If not spirituality, ruchnius, so what ultimately leads to that? What is it that perhaps it's something that has to do with the mind, but ultimately it's obviously also about the thought, the feeling, the heart. What's the word? Kavana. And kavana doesn't just mean something in your mind, and not your heart, and not your spirit. It does not just involve sichlios, intelligence. It's involving, and it's inclusive of, the entire person. The entire nefesh, and ruach, and neshama, all. Because kavana really comes from the word kivun, which means direction. Direction in life, direction of what I do, direction of what I think, direction of about what I feel and how I feel. So kavana is the word. That's the word. And that word, oh, we have found it. And you will find it again and again and again. And in the Rishonim, and in the Achronim. And yes, proper kavana is the building block. It's the foundation of what you might then call a spiritual life, a spiritually lived life, ruchnius. The word is kavana. In other words, it's almost as if saying, well, it's about ruchnius, means that you have to, well, yeah, so ruchnius is here, now let me find what ruchnius means and how do I build up to it and how do I achieve it. And kavana is the building block, the basic beginning of how to live and why to live. And then, yes, ultimately, if you live that way and for those right reasons, think that way, feel that way, do what you have to do for the right reason, it becomes very much that you are living in a ruchniistic way. Let's see, for example, some of the basics, which will involve and we'll eventually get to why I'm focusing on this, but let's talk about food. Everybody loves to talk about food. Everybody loves food. And we all need to partake of food. Before we got into this Beis Medrash, we passed a table laden beautifully with food. Ragalach and cake and juice and this coffee. And why? Because it's just such a natural part of who we are and what we are. Human beings who have to have our physical sustenance. We must have fuel, physical fuel to live. And so, of course, you can imagine that most basic biological function is going to be infused with and almost overtaken by all kinds of kavanos, all kinds of thought processes and direction and purpose as taught to us by the very basic psukim. And therefore, they are faith tenets of Am Yisrael and of Judaism. So let's begin. Let's look here in Hilchos Brachos at a simon in Shulchan Aruch titled Simon Reish Lamed Aleph. The title, no less, is Shekol Kavanosav Yiyu L'Shem Shemayim. That an entire person's direction, thought, purpose should be for the sake of heaven. Let's look specifically at the fourth line. Where toward the beginning of the fourth line, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch says, V'chein, b'chol ma sheyehena ba'olam hazeh, with whatever it is that we are enjoying in this world. Lo yechavin lahana aso. A person should not do it for the sake of one's physical satisfaction, pleasure. Elo la'avodas ha'boira yizbarach. Kedichisiv, as the pasuk in Mishlei says, b'chol derachecha, in all of your human ways, da'ehu. Know, be aware of. And das doesn't just mean awareness. It means, as in v'yeda adam es ishtai, it means come close to, come together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol derachecha da'ehu. V'amru chachamim kol ma'asecha yihyu l'shem shamayim. Sha'afilu dvarim shel rishus kagayin ha'achilo v'ha'shesiyo, eating, drinking, v'ha'halicha, v'ha'yeshiva, v'ha'kima, v'ha'tashmash, v'ha'sicha, v'chol tzarchei gufcha yihyu kulam la'avaydas b'iracho. Or l'dabar ha'gayrim avaydasay. Let it at least be for the purpose of leading to, ultimately, some meaningful way of being with and serving the Almighty. If a person is thirsty, hungry, again, it's not a sin. You eat and drink because you're enjoying it or you're hungry, thirsty. He doesn't say it's sinful. God forbid, of course not. But it's ena mishubach. It's not praiseworthy. Elo yiskaven. There's the word again, kavono. Elo yiskaven. Sheyoichal v'yishte kefichi yusai. As you need. Because you need. Lavoy des vayroy. So that he or she can serve his or her creator. V'chein afidu leishev besod yisharim. When you get together with good people, fine people. V'lamad makam tzadikim. To be there with holy people. V'leilech batzas t'mimen. And to follow and listen to good advice. The advice of people who are of the correct and the right mind and the right mindset. So you have being mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by being mizdabek to the Chachamim. Im osa lahanos atzmoy lahashtim chevtsoy v'ta'avosoy eina mishubach. If you're involved with even the best people, but you're doing it so that you're in a good circle of friends, you're in a good circle of rebbeim, you're counted amongst those who are. No. That's not the reason. Ela im kein osa l'shem shemayim. Even going to sleep at night. Everything should be done because ana avdo dekutsho berichu. That doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it, but that's the context in which we enjoy whatever we do. That is a religious person. That's not just observance. That's a religious human being. And there's a huge difference between being observant and being religious. We are to be careful when we talk about other Jews. when we say a person is a religious Jew, you are saying, wow, that is a tremendous level. That's what we would call huge madrega. Because most of us are observant, much more than we are religious. A religious Jew is a person who lives this way. Now we're going to get into it a little more by looking indeed at examples that have to do with Shulchan Aruch, with the, you know, literally the table set properly, not just on a Shabbos but during the week, how we eat, why we eat, what we eat. This is something that in this particular community needs to be spoken about and needs to be emphasized, because we have a plethora of opportunities to have whatever we want. We're blessed with so many different kinds of delicacies and all kinds of enjoyable, delicious, delectable fare of all kinds. Milchik, fleishik, we have, I don't know how many establishments under the Vada Kashras of the five towns in Far Rockaway, 70, 80 establishments, maybe more. And we're lost, therefore, to the idea and to the fine way in which a Jew partakes of the most delicious food. It's not just making a bracha and appreciating a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me whatever. That's very surface level. There's so much more, and that's kavana. And the kavana that we will examine begins on the very next page with, yes, the first thing that the Mechaber says about this, up on top of the page, where he says, V'lo yivtza perusa ketana mipnei sheniru kitzar ayin, that when we break bread, we should break off a significant piece. So that means that we don't make a bracha and bite into the sandwich or into the roll. We actually break off a piece and say our bracha, except for Shabbos, where we need to make the bracha on whole lachmim. But during the week, we break off a piece, and then we recite our bracha, and the piece needs to be not too big, not too small. Now, this minute issue is not so important, but it's the kavana behind it that is. Why not take too little a piece? Because that's expressive of, I need to be very careful, I need to be parsimonious, I need to save, because who knows if I'll have for my next meal. Now, we don't appreciate this that much, because, thank God, we're not living in circumstances where we have to worry about where our next meal will come from. Most of us are, Baruch Hashem, not living that way at all. But that was a common experience. So think about the sense of bitachon of a Jew less than 100 years ago, much less than 100 years ago, who has nothing but that piece of bread for this meal now, and what will be tomorrow will be tomorrow. If that person says, let me take just a little piece, maybe I'll just remain a little hungry now and I'll save more for later. What does that say about that person's bitachon? So therefore the Mechaber says, let it not be, lo yivtza prusa ketana, the third line on page 2, in Simen Kuf Samach Zayin, in Erech Chaim, let it not be too small a piece, b'pnei sheniru kitzar ayin. And certainly if you're giving out bread to others, let it not be too small a piece. V'lo prusa yosem mikabetza, but not too big, not more than a person would have to eat as a meal, because then it looks like gluttony. It looks like you're just hedonistically sitting down to enjoy yourself rather than to sustain life. And again, that doesn't mean that it shouldn't taste good. That doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy what you're eating. On the contrary, famously we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us so many different kinds of things to enjoy, and that if a person says, oh, I don't need it, I don't want it, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, why didn't you taste that? Why didn't you enjoy my whatever delicious fruit? I created such a beautiful array of enjoyable things for you to partake of as you sustain yourself. Why did you eschew that? Why did you not say, it's for me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it for me, I should thank him, make a bracha, and enjoy it? So there's a real balance here, but that's what life is all about, isn't it? Attaining perspective and balance. So yes, we enjoy, and we should enjoy with kavana, with thought, with mindfulness of what we're doing and why we're doing it. Let's move on to the very bottom of this paragraph. It's Sifkat Dalet, paragraph Dalet of Kuf Samach Zayin. Yitain Shtei Yodov Al Hapas. that when we break bread, we should have all 10 fingers on the bread. And then break off a piece, make the bracha, and take in and eat that motzi. And the reason for that is because, as the Mishnah Brura says, look toward the bottom, Mishnah Brura os chavdal, letter chavdal in Mishnah Brura, ki esa mitzvos odamosa ad shalo yochal prusas pas. Quotes Yerushalmi that tells us that there are fully 10 mitzvos from the time a person plants, harvests, grinds, bakes, takes ochala, that's the last of them, right? And so, all of these mitzvahs, and he lists them. Shas Chirisha, L'sachar Chamor, Yachtov, Shas Ezria, Satchal Esiz Reklai, Shas Disha, when you thresh, L'sach Sum Shar B'Disha, on and on, all the mitzvahs that are involved in bringing food to the table. There are 10 mitzvahs. And a person should say, I embrace this food with my 10 fingers. Blessed as I am with the 10 mitzvahs that made it possible for me to sanctify not just this now, the eating of bread with a bracha, but the entire process through which I brought the bread to my table has been sanctified, has been with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asking something of me, and I responding to that will, interacting with him actively. Now, of course, if you're a farmer who has indeed sown the seeds and harvested and then ground and then produced the bread and bake it yourself, wow, yeah. But that's not typical. So indeed, part of what goes into this should be our thinking at the time of our breaking bread, as we put our 10 fingers. And by the way, I have seen, I'm sure some of you, if you think back, I'm sure some of you have seen some great, smart, mindful Jews who actually are careful, and you'll watch them and you'll see that all 10 fingers are on the bread when they break off their prusa. Not just Shabbos, again, during the week. That's mindfulness. Now, yes, as we said, this is not the way we live. We're not farmers. We're not living in an agrarian society. So, but all of us are working and working hard to bring home the bacon. To bring home the bread, right? So, we're working hard. We have every right to, and we should, at the time of breaking of bread, think about the work we've done. Think about the honesty that went into the work we've done. Think about the hard work. Think about the blessings HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown in that work. Think about, yes, the many, many, many sifkaten in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, that went into bringing home this bread so that it's clean, so that it's really pasnoki. Pasnoki is, you know, that it's not got bran in it, that it's white bread. For a Jew, white bread means it's clean. It's earned honestly. I once heard the Pleisenberger Rebbe Zatzal say on the Pasuk Ve'elu HaMishpatim Ashatosim Lifneihem, and Rashi says it should be like a Shulchan Aruch, like a set table. All the halachas should be set before you, understood, well taught, well understood, and well studied. So he was homiletically telling us, this was at a Chumash Rashi class in Union City, and he said to those gathered there, he said, Mishpatim and a Shulchan Aruch, a set table and a Shulchan Aruch. Because if you set your table with food that you've honestly earned, because you've earned a living honestly, you brought home what honestly is yours, and that's what you feed your children will have good midos, they will be Torah Jews, you have a good start, and giving them a good start. What if it's, however, earned dishonestly? And he says, the Gemara in Chulin says, if you feed a child, a Jewish child, food that's not kosher, it's metamtemes halev, it's ruinous to the heart and the spirit of the child. And he said, do you think if ill-gotten gain is used to feed your family, you don't think that's going to corrupt your children without you even knowing it? That's the way a Rebbe guides his Hasidim. Still hear him saying it in that heavy Galatiani Yiddish. The Klosenberger Rebbe. earlier cousin here. Rabbi Kisil Yehuda Halberstam. Well, I take questions. And that idea of how hard we work and how honestly we work, all of us come across situations, challenges, where something is asked of us or expected of us, and we have to measure our response and correctly say to our coworker, to our partner, to our boss, to those who work for us, and we have to respond with dignity and with honesty and with integrity and with kindness, particularly to those who are subordinate to us. If you can come home with that, which you have earned, and say, that's the manner in which I conducted my profession, my affairs, my business, my whatever that might be. Whatever that might be. Ooh. Then you can put your 10 fingers on your bread and say, everything that led to the moment that I now have this bread, I have done the mitzvahs. I have been with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the process, and He has been with me. So it's very much the case for us, even though we are not the farmers that we may that we used to be. And so let's continue again here with the Rama, who famously says, and this Rama again is in Kuf Samach Zayin, in Sifkaten Hay, where it's chew our bread is very rich, and it has generally some salt in it already, and it's been flavored, and it's not as if we have to add to it to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thank you for giving us, because the bread itself is something that says, I made my bracha on the bread, and everything that's good is in it. Nevertheless, says the Rama famously, Mikamaka mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melach, bring salt to the table. Koidim sheyivtza. Ki ha-shulchan doymel mizbeach. Famously, Chazal saying, we don't have a mizbeach for kapara, for forgiveness anymore, but we have our shulchan. And again, that shulchan is for forgiveness on the simplest level, because you invite people there, you give up of what's yours to others. That's like a karban that you give up to Hashem. But it's much more than that. It's much more. It's all about that which I take in, that which I consume, is taken in for the right reason, is L'shem Shemayim. That too creates karban. And then, because that's the case, well, al kol karboncha takriv melach. The Torah says, anytime you bring a karban, even the simplest karban of flour, of solas, a karban mincha, salt accompanied the karban. You have to have salt on your table. And the salt is very, very important, because there's a bris krusa lamelach. Now Rashi famously opens up the idea, telling us, it's Rashi in Vayikra, Perek Beis, telling us that in the creation of the world, and in the separation of the Mayim HaTachtayim, here the waters and bodies of water, most of them salt water, versus the Mayim HaElyonim, water in the farthest reaches of the universe, and there's huge amounts of water. Science is now beginning to understand and appreciate just how much crystallized H2O there is out in the asteroids and throughout the universe. And in the separation of Elyonim and Tachtonim, the Tachtonim said, but we're just so unimportant relative to the water that does not reach Earth, the water that's, so to speak, not just used by mortal man. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we'll make it up to you in two ways, by Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot, and by Melach, by salt, derived from ocean water, offered with every karban on the Mizbech. Bris Melach. Why salt? And why is it so important? Yes, I understand that there's the need for the balance and for that which is right in the creation of the world to happen for the sake of every facet of creation, including water, salt. What's the message to us? The Bein Bachai, there too in Vayikra, discusses how salt is actually very powerful. It's able to cure food and cause it to be edible, just like you would do with fire. You could salt food and it becomes edible, pickle and edible. And we have a halacha that, of course, says that on Shabbos we cannot pickle foods because that would be tantamount to preparing it the way you would if you cooked it. We have in Yeridea the problems of kavush kemevushal, that something salted improperly, like meat and milk salted together, is just as bad as having them cooked together, as an example, because they're going to combine. So there's a fire aspect to salt. But of course it's derived from water, from the oceans, so it's on the one hand Aish, and it's on the other hand it's Mayim, all at the same time. Aish and Mayim, virtual opposites, coexisting. But then again, isn't that the way the world was created? Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's going to be created with Elokim and Midas Hadin, but no. Ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that it will have no kiyum, it will not last. That we must have both din and rachamim, that there has to be both ingredients, otherwise man and even beast, nothing will survive. Nothing will live. And Eish and Mayim coming together, Melach represents that in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings together those midos, of midos, adin, and rachamim. And that's how he sustains us, with his kindness. He expects of us, but he also understands and allows and has forbearance, let alone patience, erech apayim. So you have the Midas Hadin and the Midas HaRachamim all represented in Melach. Everything with Kavana, everything with thought. Everything with thought. Did you ever see someone on Shabbos, not just salt with a salt shaker, but actually have a plate or a small little server of some kind with a little bit of salt in it, and the challah gets dipped into the salt? You've seen that many times. How many times? So there's a minhag to dip it three times. And it's actually brought by the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look. Take a look. The Mishnah Berurah is toward the end of letter Lamed Gimel, toward the end of letter 33 in the Mishnah Berurah, here in Kuf Samach Zayin in Aruch Chaim. There's a small letter Chav Zayin right next to it. The end of the line. V'kosfu hamekubalim. Now, if the Mishnah Berurah brings it, it's got something to it. V'kosfu hamekubalim, that mekubalim write litvol prusas hamoitzi b'melach gimel pa'amim, that we should dip our bread, dip our challah into the salt three times. Three times. Why? So the Ben Ish Chai explains that it's done that way because melach and lechem are exactly the same letters. And numerically, they add up to 78. The Shema Kadosh is how much? Yud Kei Vav Kei? It's 26. Times 3? 78. So the Ben Ish Chai says that this midah of din and rachamim and the melach that represents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants permanence to this world. Remember, melach is something that's indestructible. Melach can sit and last. It's not going to melt unless you mix it with water. Heat will not destroy it. Cold will not destroy it. It'll just sit there. It'll last and last. It's a preservative. On the contrary, it helps something else last and last and last. So it is something of permanence, and it represents the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if my world is going to last, I'm going to grant you that, yes, there's din, there's expectation, there is that which is asked and required of you, but there's also rachamim. There's mercy, and it's extended to you. And here, you are at your meal, and you're partaking of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted and blessed you with. And we are thinking that we have a lasting covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the covenant with which the world itself was created. It represents that which was promised, not just promised to salt, but promised to us. Midas Adin and Midas HaRachamim. By the Bashefer, by the kindness of God, by Yud Kei Vav Kei. And so we dip 1, 2, 3 times. Because 3 times Yud Kei Vav Kei equals Melach. 78. Hence the Kumukabolim, as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, say, that's why we dip our bread the way we dip our bread. These are just examples. of how we live, and how we think, and how we feel. I'd like to move on to an earlier expression of this importance of kavanos in achila, in the Tzotzos Chaim of Eliyahu Dividas, who was a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero. They were students of the great Moshe, Rav Moshe Cordovero, along with the Arizal. He writes here, Ubeinyan Kavonos Achilo Yechavin Mashakosov Harav of Shlema Alkovitz. Rav Moshe Cordovero, by the way, was a brother-in-law of Rav Shlema Alkovitz, who famously composed the Lachadodi. Because of B'takonos Shelo, she yizar Shelo Yechel Misudas Arashus El Misudas HaMitzvah V'har B'Bali Torah Shebetzvas Iskimu M'takonosu. Try to eat always in a context of Sudas Mitzvah. Because of Oyed, she yizar Me'achil Gasa. Be careful not to eat more than you need to. V'ha'alota.
Where are you?
Right in the middle of the third page, the Totzos Chayim.
Oh.
Right in the middle of that paragraph. B'yan ki lilis muzumonis sham B'inyan Achil V'kos of Arav Read them in Akko. Shelo yechel odem ella b'shnei etzbaos yad yamino, that we should eat just with two fingers. That we should not grab our food and hold on to it as if it's so important to us, but so that we are a bit hesitant or dainty and more refined than that. He continues on, let's skip a line or two. He says, V'haklal shetzerach she'echel afilu imoichel levadoi ke'oichel lefnei ha'melech. Even if you're all alone, don't just do this in family, and yes, for the sake of chinuch of your children, which is very important, but no, even when you're just eating alone, by yourself. K'meloichel oretz k'vaydei. V'lefonov hu oichel u'mevarech. Remember you are before God, and blessing, and eating in His presence, and for His sake. And then he says, U'meiri, my teacher, Nishmasa Eden, that's Rav Moshe Cordovero. Kosav b'mitzvas ve'achalta b'sevato, sheb'inyin ha'achilu yechavin b'soid ishei reyach nichoyach l'Hashem. That a person, simple people like us, should partake of food and say that we are consuming this like the fire would consume food on the Mizbeach. May it be an ishei reyach nichoyach l'Hashem. May it be something that brings satisfaction, that brings pleasantness, literally nachas ruach, to the ba'ayrei oylem, to the ba'shefer. Shehu kesher kol hakdoshim v'zehu hasoid b'ktsara. U'b'kavonazu humamish karbon al gabi hamizbeach. That's how we eat. And then, good news. V'hu vaday mechaper b'kavonazais. So then it also brings us forgiveness, like a karbon would bring us forgiveness. Fascinating. And then finally, as we run out of time, on the next page, there's a Sefer Emunas Tzadikim that brings together some of the words of and stories of the great men of the Hasidic world. One of the earliest was the Adma Mipshischa, Simcha Buna Mipshischa, who bridged the 18th and 19th centuries and was one of the great, great teachers. Of course, you know that the Mipshischa really is the one who founded a great movement of Hasidus, which later became Kutsk and Enger, Alexander. He once said to one of his young students, second line, "Higia ha'eis shetashgiach al macholcha." The young man was 20 years old, and the Rebbe said, the time has come for you to be careful and to be mindful of how you eat. Interesting. And then he goes on to explain, and I'll talk out most of it rather than seeing it inside for the sake of brevity. He goes on to explain that at age 20, a person generally is now well established and healthy. And physically, you wouldn't want to tell a small child, eat less. Don't eat just because you enjoy it. Not only because they're not able to fully understand it, but because they need to partake of all that they can and get strong and be healthy and well and be mindful of building their bodies in those formative years. But then there comes a time, and age 20, of course, is a time of responsibility in mitzvahs and answerability, where he says, you should know, using the pasuk, Chanoch l'nar al pi darkoi gam ki yazkin l'yosun mimeno. Chanoch l'nar al pi darkoi means a young person has to be careful to know and understand how to eat, what we eat, why we eat. Why? Because gam ki yazkin, no matter how old you are, you're still going to eat. And you're going to want to enjoy your food. And that taiva is going to be with you till the day we go on to Olam Haba. There are other taivas that might not be as gripping, and that might not be as powerful, but there's always going to be that taiva. And now let's deal with it, he says. Begin, he says. Begin with, if not everything that you eat. He got into a much more demanding discussion of what you drink. He says, "Haloy b'shisias mayim b'pam echad yochala odom lehizgashen." Even just with a drink of water, you could be doing it with too much of your physicality in mind. It should be far more refined than that. Begin with what you even drink, and why you drink, and how you drink. So this is all because, in order for us to become a quote-unquote spiritual Jew, what we really need to do is understand it's not about something in the Luft. It's not something that's just out there and that's so far removed from the basics of what Jewish life is supposed to be all about. It's the why and the wherefore of everything we do, and the right word for it simply has to become kavana. And once we understand that, then we can search out and understand and know easily what the kavanos behind much of Jewish life really is. They're very easily accessed. The kavana in doing work and in doing business, the kavanos we can have as we even have our most private, intimate moments with the one we love, replete with issues of kavana. That's a spiritual life. It's really all about direction, mindfulness, something we should call simply kavana. Thank you very much for joining me this morning. And thank you again, Rabbi Tarek.
How can we distinguish